How's your car coming along? You got to be. Are we getting anywhere?
We're getting somewhere. I got parts. You know, it's a never-ending project.
Yeah.
All Z's are, I believe. But picked up a transmission not too long ago from it.
What train are you putting in there?
So I have a manual trans already, a CD09 already for it.
Okay.
But,
which would be the obvious mind choice, right?
Yeah. But I'm really considering going with the 7-speed automatic. So I'm really considering doing a VR30 trans, 7RE. Really? I'm getting old and I really do not like having a heavy clutch pedal and having to shift gears. And I guess I'm getting a little bit old is where I'm at. I like the ability to have the car do all the work and just kind of put my foot down and just enjoy.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I get that. So you got to be into this car for how much money do you think you would have had into this car?
Well, so I did the RB build originally.
Right.
That I know. Set me back.
But because the RBs weren't even that expensive then.
No. So now RBs, you know, if you want like an RB 20
grand.
No. If you want an RB 26, I was looking before. And for an R33 one, you're looking at $11,000, $12,000,
yeah.
Which I think when I put my RB 25 in, I spent
like six or seven.
No, I think it was like 4,000 for the engine and trans out of Queens from, you know, JDM Engine World.
If we had all known, we would have just bought a billion of them and lined our house with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we would have had like the never-ending junkyard of RB25s and RB26s.
But we would be killing it right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to work.
Right.
We wouldn't be here.
So what trans, you have a trans right now?
You have a CD09. So funny enough, I have a CD09 sitting on, bolted, the bell housing's bolted up, trans is bolted to the engine, but I picked up the 7RE originally to do it in the my G37. I was
going
to do the VR30 swap. And then now it's leading into putting it into that chassis and doing something different.
Right, right. Okay.
So
what do you, when you're all said and done, what do you think you're going to be into this car for?
40.
Right.
45, maybe.
Yeah. And like you're a Z32 build. Well, Z32. But you're doing a built engine?
No. No. So it's still unopened. Unopened from valve cover to oil pan. Eventually, I'll do an upgraded oil pan.
But junkyard, or you found the takeout?
No, it's a junkyard. We got it from somewhere down in Florida because I didn't want to get any from the Northeast. So when I sourced it.
I know, I'm just thinking, we're talking about this, but people don't understand. So it's a VQ35.
VQ37.
VQ37.
Yep. Out of a Q50 rear-wheel drive.
Okay.
So no ACs on the engine, so I'm not going to be running AC. There's no power steering pump on the engine because it comes from one with an electronic rack in it. So stripped down as basic as it could be, got the engine shipped up here from Florida. It was low mileage, I believe less than 20,000 miles on the engine. So the goal is to just kind of keep it so that if, God forbid, the engine lets go, I can go down to the junkyard,
pick
grab
up
another engine, and drop it right in.
Yeah. So... do you mind if I outline your project a little
bit? Right,
since we ended up talking about it.
Since we ended up talking about my car.
So you're a Z32. You're putting in a VQ37. You're going to mate it to what you believe will be one of the RE7.
Seven speed VR30 trans.
And then the car also is going to have stock R35 GTR turbos on it.
Correct.
And this way you could change the same. Stock housing, bigger turbos anytime, but those turbos will get you definitely some oomph and get going.
I will never run out. So with the stock turbo, it's more than what I need for the stock engine. But if I did build the engine and built the turbos, are the sky's the limit.
You know,
GTR stock housings, I think they're up to 1,300 horsepower now, 1,600 horsepower, some crazy amount of power that I'll never see out of that platform.
And just to be clear, we're talking about stock housing, not stock turbos.
Yes.
I don't want anybody away on you on this. Yeah. It's interesting. It's hard because, like, you know, the more I think about it and the more I look for cars, and which I do every day on Marketplace, the more you realize, like, how difficult, like, the dollar from compared to even 5 years ago just doesn't go really as far. Obviously cars are more money, even the used ones, although I've been starting to see them come down price a little bit.
Yeah, so I was looking today and I was honestly surprised. I don't know if it has to do with, you know, we're in the new year and people are scrounging to make a quick buck right now, or it's winter and people are, I don't know what the difference is, but just looking from 6 months ago to now, you see like there's a downward trend just a little bit, a couple thousand, you know, $1,000 less, $2,000 less per car, and you see more people with reductions. And you see the line crossed out of what they were charging,
yeah,
the first 100%. Listing, and then now it's coming down. Well, look,
people aren't spending money right now. They're just not, right? Yeah. So, you know, I have a bunch of cars saved with the idea if they come down to what I think I'm willing to pay for them, that I will jump at them, right? But the problem with that whole thing is I don't know if these people are ever going to come down to that place.
Because they probably bought it when they were high.
Well,
or they,
there's no doubt they bought it when they were high, right? So, you know, you're still hoping for the guy that's owned the car for 4 years or something like that before everything got crazy. So he was into it for less so that you can get it for a reasonable price. I'm not talking about cheap. I'm just talking about reasonable, right? So I don't know if that's going to happen, but, you know, it's like before, you know, we talk about doing cool car builds and just doing things for, you know, drive around for a while, sell it, move on to something else, whatever. But now to get like a kind of a decent build all said and done, the cheapest you can it used to be 10,000. Now the cheapest really you can go to have a pretty good car that you can mod and kind of enjoy, and actually get the car to be more aggressive, is probably around 25 grand.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like the amount of money that you're going to be spending just to even pick up like an S5 or one of those Audis, you know, you're spending 20,000.
Those German cars scare me though.
And every single one of them is over 100,000 miles. You know, they all need maintenance done or they've been neglected in maintenance. And, you know, the question is, do you go that route? Do you drop $15,000 on the car, put a set of wheels, tires on it, maybe a set of coilover suspension, a set of KWs or something like that, make it look very nice, make it handle well, go in with a brake kit and you're out the door with a tune making, 400-ish horsepower these days?
Well, look, I guess the question is, if you had, let's say you have 25,000 all in, right? Like you got 25 grand all in to spend. That means buy the car, mod the car, whatever you're going to do to it has to stop at 25, right? Can't go past it. What are some platforms that you think like are pretty fun to go after? You know what I mean?
So I got to go with, you know, an easy one is always the Mustang platforms. You can get any of the 4.6 liters.
Okay.
They're fun. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was looking before. I found a Cobra, like a 01 Cobra. So it's the four valve, not the two valve. Put a Pro Charger on it. You know, I can pick the car up for $6,500, $7,000. With 100,000 miles.
Maybe not a Cobra, but Jeff.
No, literally, this was a Cobra. This was an 01 Cobra with 106,000 miles on it that they had for sale.
Still feels cheap, but I'm with you.
But running, driving.
So
there's definitely some, you know, there's definitely potential out there. And I think these are kind of going to be those cars where everyone's looking for the 03, 04 Cobra. Nobody's looking at a 01 or 99, or what is it, 99, 01.
Right, you're talking about the one after you get that body with the 96 one with the three weird.
Right after that. But I mean, even then, I mean,
it's like for me, I think that there's some cars that are obvious choices, right? I still think you could find a lot of different Civics and do the right thing with the Civics because the stuff is aftermarket wise still you know pretty affordable. I think you can get into WRXs. There's so many of them out there now. The hard part of the WRX is if you really wanted to make a lot more power or, you know, you got a car that was abused because, man, some of those engines are tough.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that most of them you go through online and you're looking at it and they're good prices. And then you get in there and every single one of them needs an engine. Oh, I have a check engine light out and for number two. Oh, I have low compression on number two. Oh, I have this problem. I have that problem.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, a Subaru short block, you go out, get a Subaru short block, swap the heads over, do a timing kit, you know, put it back in the car. I know the Subaru guys are like, oh, I can do that in the afternoon. But let's say this is your kid who's, you know, couple years out of college who just wants a project car, he's not going to be building an engine necessarily in his garage.
No, that's fair. But I also think like, you know, for 25 grand, you can still find even the 15 to 17 WRXs, you know, maybe the car costs closer to 20.
Yeah.
Right. But I think that you do that, and, you know, at least the car has a turbo, put a tune on it. You know, like, I think you have the last $5,000 that you can, you know, pick up some wheels. Maybe they're not brand new, but, you know, pick up some wheels and tires, like, to make your dollars go far. Yeah. You know, put some suspension in the car. Maybe it's just springs for now, or, you know, do like spring strut combination or something like that. And then you can obviously, you know, marketplace, you know, an exhaust, a cat back, different things, and maybe, you know, spend that money on, you know, getting the car tuned. And now all of a sudden, I think that, you know, you're doing better than you were, for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that those cars are still like an option. I mean, I still believe there's some real good value swaps out there if you can be scrappy, right?
Yeah.
Scrappy is the key to making this work, right? But like, the truth is, you know, you do have, there's still some, if you want to spend a little bit more money, whether it be right-hand drive or left-hand drive, you know, whether you get non-turbo or you luck out, I still think you can get into an SW20, right? I think it's getting tougher, but I think you can get an SW20, but yes, it's old, right? I think that you potentially could stay on that same rhythm and get yourself, and I know this is well in the ballpark, you know, one of those MR2 spiders.
MRSs, right? They're called MRS, yes, right? MRSs. I know that everyone says that they're MR2. I just never understood that.
Yeah, right, the MRS. So you can get into one of those, and I think, you know, if you're scrappy, I think you could do a K-swap on it, and I think you could be well under $25,000. I think you have a really amazing car. I think the car's a lot of fun.
Very capable track car, too. I feel like if they want to get into motorsports or something like that, that's probably one of the better entry-level cars.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And then in addition to that, I also think you still have the 350s and the 370s.
Yeah. They're out there. I mean, I found them before. I mean, if you want to go salvage hunt and build a drift car, you can get them all day for $5,000.
So you know this better than I do.
Yeah.
Are there any of the, and I think the answer is no, but like those, the stock GTR turbos and stuff like that, the R35 turbos, none of them bolt up to a VQ block, right?
They won't bolt directly in. So I have an adapter plate on my cylinder heads to be able to adapt it. From what I understand, there's not a single kit of the stock ones that will. The ports are all different. They're different shaped and things like that.
So the adapter, what, comes out like a CNC on an angle to kind of...
Yeah, so I have it's a beveled piece of plate aluminum or plate steel, and it's angled to the correct...
I got you. I know what you mean.
Flange. Yeah, right. And then the flange holes where the bolts are have been moved so that you can bolt that on, and then you bolt the exhaust to that.
Okay. Because like I wonder if like... You know, is that a more affordable way to potentially twin turbo a 350 or something like that? The problem is, I think, no, because by the time you get done with all the stuff you need for it.
That's it, is that the kits now have gotten so cheap. They're still expensive, but
you're still spending $7,000-$8,000.
By the time you're said and done with the intercooler piping, getting the correct intercooler, fabbing up your own intercooler, making everything you need, making brackets, you're gonna shoot through it. Yeah, not in time.
And it's hard too, because it's like, I would say we're both in a similar situation. I think you're probably better than I am, but like, as far as like, I think we both could be resourceful in sourcing different used parts affordably. But I still don't think it hits home until you start to get to the point where you're like, I know what happened to me. I was just doing an oil cooler project. It was the AN fittings.
Yep.
Like, it wasn't the hose. I could find a fine hose, but then, you know, you're not going to really, you don't really want to cheap out with the AN fittings, you know? So, like, you go to buy them and you realize, like, some of them are like $25 a piece. You
get into like Fergola and guys like that, and they're like $40 fitting.
Yeah, so I think that stuff can really, you know, it really prices out very fast. But like for me with intercooler pipes and stuff, I mean, you know, I hate to say it like this because it's gonna come off whatever. I've done this before. All right, just hear me out. You go on to Amazon or to eBay, and you get the generic piping kits.
Okay.
Not to use all the pipings, but for the bends. Because there's some of those kits that have 4, 5, 6 bends in them. And, you know, you're only using pieces of bends. And then what I do is I go to Online Metals, and I'm sure there's places to get them cheaper, but, you know, for me, I go to Online Metals, and I go on the website, and I get the, you know, the 2.5-inch diameter aluminum tube, you know, with a 0.125 thickness, right?
Yeah, the good wall thickness.
And you can go thinner too if you really want to. Like, I mean,
I'm not a fabricator, so I can't speak on it, but like the Vibrant stuff, like the quality where you can feel that it's not going to rub through. You're not going to have problems where it's making contact.
That's why I pick up the 0.125 stuff, because that's basically an eighth of an inch. It's pretty thick.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no doubt you can go down to 0.65, 0.8, you know, 8.3. They have like, and you can easily, you know, make your own pipe. And the truth is, like, I'm okay with doing pie cuts on projects where, you know what I mean? Well, but here's the thing. I think it depends, right? There's a difference between a car you're trying to build as a showpiece and there's a car you're trying to build to get it running.
Purposeful pie cuts to me make sense. But when you go in there and you're doing you're doing an angle that you can literally pick up out of a box and making it out of pie cuts.
No, for sure.
Drives me insane. All right.
First off, I agree with you 1,000%. But I guess what I mean is, like, you'd be surprised how a $40 stick, you know, a 6 or 7 foot stick of that aluminum tube and one of those $75 to $100 intercooler pipe kits that gives you those bends can turn into, can turn into like an entire intercooler kit for $150, yeah, bucks, you know? And like the truth is, like, I know we have a place called Moreland Hose. It's not right.
Oh, I love Moreland.
And for me, like, I used to just go in there and for the silicone couplers, yeah, buy a section.
T-bolt clamps. They have every T-bolt clamp you can imagine.
And for those that aren't even around, like for maybe not for us here, but a lot of places in the country, they have those truck shop, what do they call them? Those big truck shops that, like, you know, like the Tractor Supply.
Yeah, Supply Company.
So, yep. So like, you go to Tractor Supply and you can get them there pretty cheap. But like, yeah, you got T-bolt clamps. And then what I used to do at Moreland Hose was go there and get like literally the entire length.
Yeah, the 3 foot section of silicone diameter.
And the guy he would literally be like, well, how much do you need? And I would already have it figured out. All right, I want to do, you know, three or 3.5 inch sections or whatever. I would just be like this much. And literally I put it on the bandsaw and just...
I had them make my clutch lines. They made brake lines for me, all that stuff. The one in, so there's two of them. There's the one in,
right. There's the one in
Hempstead, and then the other one is in Bohemia. Oakdale, Bohemia. Right.
Yep.
And they're both amazing. Like, yeah. I've had nothing but good experiences, speaking of. But actually, you brought up a very valid point when we were talking before that I wanted to touch on. I miss the days of being able to go to the junkyard and pull parts out and be able to go hunting for parts. I know we've talked about this in the past, but like, that ability to go in and kind of scrounge around and be like, oh, you know, maybe I'll do this instead and this is a better opportunity, or I found this part and I wasn't really expecting it. Yep. I mean, I found a set of Cobra R rep wheels out at the junkyard in Virginia Beach when we went pick and pulling. Yeah. It was great.
I think, and there's still plenty of places in the country that they have those pick and pulls. We don't have them.
Yeah, they're gone.
Like, insurance liability reasons, like, they don't let you into the yards anymore, hardly ever. I mean, there's a couple of them maybe that you can get in there. I think I was just telling this the other night, because my friend brought up something to be welded, and I was like, where'd you get this? He's like, oh, the junkyard. And it's like, because he's trying to do something on a budget. He's doing like an LS swap on a budget. And you know, one of the things he did was he went and grabbed a bunch of things, and the pipes look good, they just were broken, right? So he's like, you know, can you put these together? And it's not a big deal, but so I welded that stuff up for him. But then he was like, yeah, like, went over to this junkyard, and even the ones that don't let you in, but he had a list of parts he needed, random things, you know. So he like literally paid him $150, put a list down on the counter, and said to the guy, like, is there any way I can get these parts for this? Like, you don't have to go get them, I'll go get them. And the guy was like, ah, just go. And, you know, he walked out and walked around for an hour and came back with those parts. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, for $150, he made that $150 go really far, right? Yeah. I think junkyards are a great way to really drag out, you know, what's there. It is true. Like, I used to go to junkyards all the time. And now I don't even think about it, because I'm so quick to get onto Amazon, or so quick to get onto eBay or different places, or Facebook Marketplace, and look for those used parts, or try to find an aftermarket part that I feel like is good enough for what I'm looking for. Now, I'm not doing that on like my Z or like builds where I'm trying to put the money into it, right? Like, you are not going to do that on your car.
No, not for, so the big items, obviously, like the transmission, I don't really have much of a choice. I'm not going to go out and buy a new automatic transmission. I could have got the CD09 back a couple years ago for $2,600. That was great.
You know, they're not that expensive still.
Yeah, but I already have one.
I understand that. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, but I think that there's, you know, there's definitely some cars and some parts out there that are allowing you to stretch and the realm with a junkyard. And I don't even think we think about them enough.
I saw something cool recently, actually, that just made me think of it. The ZF7s, the things that are in every Dodge platform imaginable, yep, at BMW, so on and so forth. They came out with a controller, a standalone controller for the ZF.
Yeah.
So now we're talking full opportunity for these people to go. You can go out to the junkyard, get a ZF8, put it into, say, your project car, and now you have one of the faster shifting automatics on the market.
Well, because you're talking about that HAP, the 8 HP swap.
Yes.
Right? So the eight HP 770 is the one that they seem to all be using, especially, like, you know, there's a couple guys that have done it on, like, on Supras and stuff like that. And they say that, like, yeah, like, the control is crazy. And it's like it's still manual. It's still a get reg, if I remember correctly. So then they have all those ones that are out of all the BMWs and stuff, yeah, like that.
That's
that HAP 8 HP 70 that seems to be really popular. And there's a couple guys that have started to do them. I don't know. I think they're super sick.
Yeah, it's a very versatile trans, and it has a very fast shifting.
And they said that dynamic. The thing is that it's not crazy over like electronic with a ton of stuff.
From what it looked like maybe a 15-pin connector that they built up between the CAN bus and the rest
of it.
So
I guess what happens is, like, there's a couple of places, I think, this, you know, that they sell these, you know, controllers, and you're talking about it needs like five signals. It needs, like, you know, your speed signal. It needs, like, you know, a couple different things. Yeah. And next thing you know, you're like really in there, and you could buy a paddle kit for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, no, we're getting there.
I know. So I definitely see that those are coming to life. But, you know, there's some other cars, I think, that are still bargains if you can find them. I think this is where the scrappiness comes in, right? For me, I think a project you can be in all for 25 grand, all in on, and be like having a really amazing project, to me, is like an IS300. Mm. Because I think, you know, it's already got a 2J in it. It's a non-turbo one. But the truth is, most of the fast guys are using non-turbo blocks anyway.
I was gonna say, I wonder. I'm not familiar enough with 2Js to know, but I wonder if there's like an easy cheat turbo kit like we used to do on a lot of these NA cars, where you have an NA block with a turbo running lower boost than what you would have on, say, the regular turbo application.
Yeah, no, I think you do that. I think, you know, even for the car that's automatic, I mean, I think it's reasonable to think, if you're crafty, that you could get one of those cars, turbo it, you'd be able to put it like an R154 in there or something like that, yeah, you know, some manual trans, do the swap. Like, I think you could do that. Now, are you going to be topping out and there's going to be a lot of other things left on your list? Of course, but I think that's one of those cars. And I'll tell you the other car that I still see that's actually imported, but I see them popping up for reasonable prices still, is those Soars.
I was going to say the SE platform.
Right. So now, right. The SE platform, but at least you were getting a 1JZ in the Soar.
And you get to brag that it's a Soar and not a Lexus.
I mean, I guess if that's the flex you're looking for.
It was kind of cool because, you know, you had a different emblem. No, it's not a car that we had in the traditional sense, like the naming and all that. It's still a little bit different. So when it's at a car show, yeah, people are look at it and be like, oh, it's an SC. And then once they see it's right-hand drive, and then they see different badging and stuff like that, they start to ask questions. So I still think there's a cool factor to that.
You know what I like about the Soar, and this is kind of a interesting one, besides the fact that it comes with 1JZ, is that, yeah, you put a R154 swap into it or whatever it may be, manual swap it.
Or that CD09.
I mean, you could, 100%. I mean, if you can do the adapter, if you can fit. I don't have a lot of knowledge with doing them, but
I think it's just a quick change now. They cut like part of the, I think they cut part of the bell housing off or something like that, and then they do an adapter thing. Yeah, it's something like that. But
because I think Collins makes a lot of those adapters.
Yeah.
But like, so the I think to me, like, you do that and, you know, I think you have a completely capable platform. The better yet, the piece that really makes me happy is the fact there are some really great running, driving, you know, Soars and stuff like that And these cars were fully decked, full of leather and nice things, because that was a luxury car.
So it's you get that extra luxurious trim.
Right. And the thing becomes a bat out of hell. You know, it's really fast. So I think you could still get those.
I was going to say, it brings back the thought of those old VIP cars where they were fast, but they were still all cushed out.
Listen, I like the big body stuff, but those are cruisers.
Oh, don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying, like, I feel like the Soar is that nice balancing act then between the two of them, because a 700 horsepower Soar is going to feel like you're driving a couch at 150 miles per hour.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. So here's car. You know, I still think if you could find them clean, I think Mark 4 GTIs and like Mark 5, Mark 6 GTIs, I think you could still do it. That 1.8T was a fun little engine.
Yeah.
I mean, Volkswagen scare me, but like, you know.
If we're doing front wheel drive, I'm going SRT4. You can pick them up for so cheap. There's so many of them out there. But
you can't find them.
There's tons of them on the internet. They're all over the place. I looked today and
those cars were, I mean,
they're so much fun. I know, but they're so, I had one. They're so much fun. They're literally like riding a BMX bike and just messing around. They're a toy. They really are. You can throw them around. They slide all over the place. Wherever you point them, they're going to go. They make all the right sounds. And you got back seats or roll up windows. I mean,
yeah. All right.
And power in the front, because that was Dodge.
I know. Like, they were so close to just being.
They're fun though.
Yeah. All right. I get it. They were popular.
$7,000.
Yeah.
I think I found it even cheaper. I found them even less, but that with full, you know, with some bolt-ons, do basic stuff. It's a great car. I loved mine. I honestly did. It's so much fun.
Neon that went to the gym all summer to work out.
Yeah.
And then when it gets done, it's like, it's got like a, an actual bicep. I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other cars that you could really walk in for 25 and feel good about when you walked out.
What about a GTST?
I think it's hard to find one that's not rotted through for that kind of money now, but
for maybe. Under 25 for a GTST, I think we could. I think you can find them under 20. You talk about
like an RB20 car? Like
it would
early,
have to,
early
yeah,
car?
It would have to
like,
be an R32 RB20 car, wouldn't
later,
it?
Later car, I don't know. I don't know. If you found one, I think you're going to be changing everything under the sun for that.
Well, yeah, it's going to need maintenance, I'm sure. It probably got neglected. It's probably sat on the back of a hill somewhere.
It's got bushings. It's got, you know. Yeah, the whole
everything
thing.
Underneath is sprayed with that black spray paint.
Yeah, I'm just worried that every single one of those cars is going to be so difficult to get, like trim for and different things like that. But
18, but with nine, I think that's.
Nice. I just think you're. I think with the GTST, if that's an RB20 car, no, it's not. It's probably an RB25 car. Yeah, yep. RB25, right?
Yep.
So, do I think that you could make that car cool? Absolutely, I really do. But I think you're going to run out of budget real fast.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be eating ramen for the next, 5 years if you decide to build it.
Did you say that because it's a Japanese car?
No, I like ramen.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. You have any other cars you could think of for like 25?
The problem is it's getting harder.
It's tough.
And once you get into the mods and you start to do engine swaps, I mean, the engine swap, you really start to see the price go up fast.
Yeah, I mean, look, I still think, I guess I already said that we might as well go ahead and, a German car scare me. I might as well keep going. I think that the last stuff that I can really think of off the top of my head, quickly, would be like some of the BMW E90 stuff. I think you get E90 stuff at a great deal. I think if you can pick up, somebody kept a clean 335, I think you get a car that, is twin turbo. I don't think the engines are terrible, but they were N54s, I believe.
But my question with that is, are you able to get a worthwhile 335i, or are you kind of capped out at that 330 XI, or like the non-turbo ones?
I think it was like 328 those years or something.
Yeah, but are you capped out at that non-turbo?
I think you can get a 335. I think you can pick one up.
21,000 for an 08 with it.
No, so that's an M3. That's M3. I mean, that,
yeah, that's a
V8. Yeah,
which one? Well, that's for that price though, I would eat ramen. I mean, I guess in this case,
okay. But I'm talking about it. Like you can get a 335 for $8,000 to $12,000. You got those M3. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'll take an M3.
Yeah, you saw there were like 30 to 40 for most of them.
So the problem always, this is the problem with M3s for me, okay? Because my friend had one. I have a lot of friends that have had them. What I mean is my friend had one that blew an engine.
Was it rod bearings?
I don't think so. I think he just blew the engine. Okay. But the point of the matter is there's no replacement.
No.
Because you can't find an engine to replace it with that isn't more than the car.
Or right? That or, hasn't already been blown up and put back together.
Well, maybe. but like so that to me, but like with like let's say a 335, you blow the engine, you can go get another one.
Yeah. Or there's more options
to
available
swap to, in
yeah,
or something yeah. like that. Yeah, you would hate to go into the realm of buying an M and then having to swap it with something that's not
that particular
to me,
yeah,
right. So whatever. So that's why I don't think the M's make my list for that, but they're cool cars. I mean, if you can get one that's really that good, you know?
They're one of the most amazing sounding BMW. I mean, obviously the M3 V8 is the most amazing sounding V8 that BMW has put together, but I don't know, man. I've never been into the BMW platforms. Like if I had to go that route, it would go Audi.
I just think that there's a lot. Yeah, I don't know. All the German cars start to scare me with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but an S5 with the 3-liter with the supercharged one. I mean, yes, obviously, eventually it will need maintenance. You'll be
and,
doing.
And what does that maintenance look like?
It looks like a watch as you're doing. No, as far as if you go into the timing system, yes, you start to get into a hard job.
It's got a few different timing chains there, doesn't it?
Yes, I believe that's a quad chain motor, but I'd have to go back and double check. I tried to avoid doing them. It was more swapping engine in versus actually tearing them apart and rebuilding them.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Well, I think that's all we should talk about today.
Yeah.
So for those that are out there, 25K, you got 25K in your pocket. You got to build a modded car. You got to stop at 25K. So think about where you would be, you know, when you finish. And what are those car choices? Like, throw the comments down below. Let us know what you think would be some of the best cars you can build and purchase in that 25K
all said and
range.
Done for 25,000.
Gotta be all said and done. And I, you know, I'm not saying forever, but
version one of the car.
Version
said and
one
done.
where you can drive it comfortably and Let's see what the people have to say.
All right.
See if they beat you up.
We'll see.
They always beat me up, but I just know. Anyhow. that's it. Catch you in the next one.
Peace.